hold your ears for just a minute. Okay, we're good. I have to make sure that thing is working when we get started, and sometimes it's not, so that's why I want to make sure. Oh, look at your lesson. Am I like the noble Bereans? A passage of Scripture that we're all familiar with. Of course, we know that this is Paul's second missionary journey. And of course, along this second missionary journey, Paul and Silas have picked up Timothy, and Timothy is going with them. They've endured a lot of issues when they're trying to teach the truth, and we see that indeed there is a group of people that are now out to get Saul, because Paul, because he is taking and teaching a doctrine that just doesn't coincide with their doctrine. Isn't that interesting? Isn't it interesting that we live in a society today that have a lot of different doctrines? I don't understand why we have to have so many doctrines when we have or are supposed to have the same Word of God. And so it tells me something here. It tells me there's something or someone not reading or understanding what the Bible has to say. And so it's so important that whenever we learn about Christ and ever we learn about the Word of God, that we definitely understand what it has to say. Well, here in our text, in Acts chapter 17, beginning in verse 10, "And the Bereans immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea," or the brethren rather. "When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was preached by Paul at Berea, they came there also to stirred up the crowds. Then immediately the brethren sent Paul away to go to the sea, but both Silas and Timothy remained there. So those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens, and receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed, they departed." I want to take in consideration the kind of people that are able to receive the Word of God in a way that it should be received. And certainly the Bereans set an example for us here. And if you notice, they are distinguished between those at Thessalonica. We know that Paul, when he went to Thessalonica, that he taught them the truth there, being in the synagogue of the Jews. And we also realize that some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude, as a matter of fact, of devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. So we know that there were some who received the truth and were obedient to the truth. But when we look, there are some, it says, "But the Jews who were not persuaded, being envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace, and gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people." I want you to notice what he's saying here. He's saying the Bereans received the word better than those at Thessalonica, because there was a certain number of the Jews that did not agree with the doctrine that Paul was talking about when he was talking about Jesus Christ being king. And so it upset so many of them. I think it's interesting to note that they didn't have enough members upset of the Jewish tribe, so they go into the city and get these evil men and pull them into the mob so that they can really get them worked up. And they did. But here at Berea, it was quite different. Their attitude, their actions toward the Word of God certainly will serve us well as we study our Bibles and understand what the Bible has to say. So the Bereans, first of all, in your outline, were fair-minded, noble, or generous. What elevated them in Paul's mind was because they were free of prejudice and bias. That would prevent them from listening to the truth of the gospel. And that is so true. I meet and study with people in classes oftentimes that will not be converted to the gospel of Jesus Christ because they believe that the doctrine that they were raised with is fine. Now, they believe that sometimes because parents were that way. They believe that because their preacher told them that. You see, instead of going to the Word of God like the Bereans did to see if what Paul was saying was true or not, they just go by their feelings. And how sad that is, because sometimes our feelings are wrong. And we need to understand that the truth may not always agree with how we feel. As a matter of fact, the Word of God cuts. And you know, a cut never feels good. And we know that when Peter preached the first gospel sermon, that there in Acts chapter 2, that they asked Peter and the rest of the apostles, what must we do to be saved? And the apostles told them they had to repent and be baptized. Well, that may not have necessarily agreed with their doctrine that they came up with. As a matter of fact, did not. So therefore, they had to make changes. And so sometimes when we hear the truth and we know it's the truth according to the will of God, then we have to make changes and adopt the will of God and let go of our feelings. And it's not always easy. It's not always easy. Different people were raised in different areas, in different homes, different doctrines. And so we just have to go and trust the Word of God and follow it. That's the biggie, trusting God. That's so important. And we talked about that in our Bible class this morning. They didn't make up their minds before hearing Paul and Silas. As a matter of fact, this to me is a really important issue, that we have an open mind, that we have a willing heart to hear what the truth has to say. And that is so important in understanding what God expects from us. So in our Bible studies, we must not force things on people that are not in the text. We must teach them the things that are in the text, according to the text, teach them truth, so that they can be obedient to the gospel. The open mind to the possibility of being mistaken in their faith is not a bad thing. That's not a wrong thing. Go back, if you would, to verse 2 of chapter 17, and notice what Paul says there in Thessalonica. He said, then Paul, as his custom was, went to them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. It is obvious that there were both Sadducees and Pharisees in this audience, and obvious to me that the Sadducees are not going to agree with what Paul says here, because the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. But Paul here is telling them that Christ died and was resurrected. They did not have the open-mindedness that they needed to have. They have to have a humble heart. You know, it's hard to take and convert someone if they're high-minded. They just don't want to follow. They don't want to believe that they're wrong. The proverb writer says, there is a way that seems right to man, but it's the end is the way of death. Wow. Another one that he says, and sometimes we must not trust our own heart, we must trust God's word. O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Jeremiah 10:23. Wow. So you see, we find other passages of scriptures that brings out the fact that God's thoughts are not our thoughts, nor his ways our ways. So we have to understand that in hearing the truth, sometimes it means we have to make a change. And that's something that some of those Jews did when they were preaching during this second missionary journey. But they had to battle a lot of angry ones as well. A lot of them. The Bereans received the word with all readiness. That is eagerness, eager enthusiasm, willing inclination, eager to engage. Oh yes, whenever you hear the truth, you should be excited about it. Whenever you're talking about God's word, you need to understand what he's talking about and get excited about doing what he tells us to do. The Bereans were that kind of people. They were ready for this. You know, I think of another passage of scripture in my mind where in Acts chapter 10 with those who were at Cornelius' household. They were there, and they were there with an open heart, open mind. As a matter of fact, on your outline, I printed it out for you. So I sent you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear the things commanded you by God. So here Peter is preaching to these Cornelius and his household, and they're hearing the truth, and they're ready to hear the truth. They're excited about it. Willing minds to receive a message not previously heard or believed. But the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Jesus said in Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. So important to get the truth out there. Readiness to receive the truth is not being gullible. I think that's a terrible thought that someone would think that way. The message has to be verified. It has to be one that we truly do know and understand, and it truly is being taught. So I encourage you to turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2, and there's a couple of passages that I would like to consider in this passage of Scripture. First of all, I want you to notice in chapter 2 of Colossians, and I want you to notice what he says there in verse 4. Because we have so many different doctrines in the world today, why is that? And it's a good question. It's a good question to ask why it is. Here's one reason why. Now this I say, lest any should deceive you with persuasive words. A lot of people are led away with persuasive words. It's false teachers that use this tool to persuade them that you can believe this way and it's fine. There are those that believe you can act any way you want to as long as you go to confession. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible says. Becoming a child of God means a change of life. It means there's challenges that you're going to have to be faced with as well. Oh, it's not what you call an easy path to take. Because there are those who are going to make fun of you because you choose to be a child of God. And there are those who may rebuke you because of how you believe, even though it's what the Bible says. Oh yeah, there's so many things. Move on down to verse 8. Here's another reason. Paul says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Oh, wow. There's those kind of people out there. The Bereans were not that kind of people. The Bereans were ready to receive the word. They were ready to receive the truth. But they wanted to be convinced that it was the truth, so they searched the scriptures that they had to be able to know whether or not what he was saying was so. Now notice verse 20 in this same passage. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world? Why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments of the doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. So you look at what Paul is saying to the brethren here at Colossae and the points that he's bringing out on what draws people away. What draws people to church services? Oh, there's all kinds of things that these new doctrines are using to try to draw people to Christ. When we're told that what we need to use to draw people to Christ is simply the Word of God. We don't need a bake sale. We don't need a basketball team. None of those things do we find authority for in Scripture. We're supposed to use the Word of God as a drawing power. And that's what should draw people. If you're using the Word of God to draw people, they will remain because you're not getting rid of the Word of God. So important. What a passage of Scripture. The Bereans, eagerness to receive truth. On your outline, 2 Corinthians 4:2. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Paul and Silas and Timothy were dealing with people that did not believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Those were people that were still under the Old Testament law. They were still following the law of Moses. They weren't willing to adapt differently. Oh, how sad it is, because as we saw in the Old Testament scriptures, as we've studied in our lessons on Sunday morning, we have seen that there are many Old Testament examples that prophesy of the coming of Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And that's why I say with some of these doctrines that use a different testament, they say, it's a testament, a part of the Bible as far as they're concerned. But this different testament, nowhere in the scriptures does it say there's going to be another testament. Nowhere. Oh. Well, how did they get it? From man. And that's sad. It's sad. Willing, eager to change, to conform to God's truth, regardless of what you thought was right before. Making the change. Readiness is not defensive, envious, or combative toward the Word of God, like the non-believing Jews when they brought an assault on Jason's house. There in verses 5 and 6 of our text. The next one is the Bereans search the Scriptures daily to verify accuracy of what is taught and believed, not to justify themselves. Does it agree with God's Word? The psalmist wrote this: "The entirety of your Word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever." Psalm 119 and verse 160. Notice what John wrote. John wrote, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. It is sinful to use the scriptures when we try to justify ourselves in our own beliefs and our own practices. We should not do that at all. Well, we look that there are some who have talked to me about going church shopping, as if you were going to go to a grocery store and shop for a piece of meat that might be on sale at another store, and the stores are nearby, and you'll go to the store where the meat is cheaper. Church shopping. I wonder in my mind, why would anybody use that term? Because there's only supposed to be one body of Christ. There's only one church. So what are they looking for? Are they looking for a different doctrine than what the Bible teaches? Are they looking for a church that offers them fun? Are they looking for a church that allows them the opportunity to live a lifestyle that's not acceptable to God? You know, you ask yourself, what are you looking for? When you go church shopping, what are you looking for? Well, the one thing that I would say that they should be looking for is one that teaches truth, not one that teaches a man-made doctrine. Well, I can tell you right now, there are many of those who have fallen away from the gospel of Jesus Christ because the doctrine of Christ did not allow them to live the lifestyle they liked living. Yeah. Oh, how sad. How sad. Not the Bereans. As a matter of fact, the result was the Bereans believed the truth. I want you to notice something. They believed and obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they were saved. They heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, just like we're told to do, to go out and to teach others the gospel of Christ. Romans 10:17 tells us, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Hebrew writer tells us, without faith it is impossible to please God, for we must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Oh, they certainly believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and they were willing to confess His name, as Paul tells us we are to do in Romans 10 and verses 9 and 10, as Jesus tells us we are supposed to do in Matthew 10, verse 32 and verse 33. Confess My name before men, and I will confess you before My Father in heaven. Yeah. We must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Oh, they recognized the importance of repenting from sins and their false beliefs, just like some of the Jews, as we saw there on the day of Pentecost with Peter, when he preached to them about Jesus Christ and about His being the Son of God. And many of them did believe on that day and baptized into Christ to put Christ on. You know, I use this example a lot, and I make this point a lot. And that is, if you haven't been baptized into Christ, you have not put Christ on. If you have not put Christ on, you will not go to heaven. It's that simple. It's that simple. Romans chapter 6 and verses 2 through 3 tells us that we are baptized, buried in that watery grave, put to death the old man, rise up to walk in newness of life. A change. It shows there has to be a change. You can't be the same person that you went down in the water and come up the same way. You can't do that. You've got to change. And it's quite a responsibility. And there's a lot to have to do to make changes. I want to suggest to you that if you have never obeyed the gospel of Christ, that when you do obey the gospel of Christ, there may be family and friends that won't want to have anything to do with you. Yeah, because you're a Christian. But as we studied this morning in the test and the trials that we go through in our adult Bible class, as a Christian, you will suffer persecution. Paul brought that point out. He didn't say you might. He didn't say some of you will and some of you won't. No. As a matter of fact, in our study this morning, we saw that even those of the world suffer persecution. So, therefore, all mankind suffer persecution. There's a difference. When you're a Christian, you have someone to go to and to talk to and trust and know that He is there to help you through those trials and those tribulations. That's a wonderful feeling. That's a wonderful feeling. And then, sent benevolent relief to Jerusalem. I thought this was an interesting point, a thing that we've all studied before. But I brought it in the lesson because I think it's very important, because we're studying about the Bereans and we're looking at what they were willing to do. And we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and we look here beginning in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in the great trial of affliction and abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive a gift and the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. Now notice the point that Paul makes in this second letter to the brethren at Corinth. First, they gave themselves to the Lord. Then they were willing to help them get the needs that they were in need of. Oh, wow. Wow. What a powerful statement that Paul makes there. First, they gave themselves to the Lord. So, many folks are being deceived and cheated because they have chosen to follow a doctrine of men. And how sad it is. It's Christ's church. He gave His life for it. Peter had the wonderful opportunity to use the keys to open up the kingdom of Christ with the first gospel sermon. And ever since then, we've been trying to preach truth to a nation of people who are following doctrines that do not coincide with the Word of God. Not the Bereans. The Bereans were real faithful. They followed the doctrines that Paul taught, but not ignorantly. They went and searched the Scriptures daily to see if those things were so or not. Let me tell you, we need to do that all the time. If someone is teaching a doctrine, we need to see if it coincides with the doctrine of Christ. If it doesn't coincide with the doctrine of Christ, it's not Christ's doctrine. If you're here this morning and you've never been obedient to the gospel of Christ, been buried in the water grave of baptism to put Christ on, to receive the forgiveness of sins, and to know that when we pray to the Father above, that He hears our prayers, we give to you the invitation. If there's anyone here who has fallen away from the gospel of Christ and wishes to come back, again, we extend the invitation to you. If there's any way that we can help you to continue your walk with the Lord, we encourage you to come as together we stand and sing a song.
Like Jesus waiting.